Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name is Patricia King, and I have with me my good friend, Stacey Campbell. We've got an exciting program today talking about the subject of social justice. And Stacey, this is a really big thing on the heart of God right now. In fact, justice is being highlighted everywhere, even in secular environments. We're mm-hmm. hearing the word justice.
Yeah, everybody knows, like instinctively inside of us, we know that it's wrong to, you know, give little children guns or put little kids in the sex trade. And there's finally an outcry at the measure of injustice that is going on in the world.
Yeah, there's so many shakings, even mm-hmm. on levels of government, where the younger generation is rising up and saying, you know what, we don't want this kind of control anymore. We don't want this out of Wall Street, or we don't want that. Mm-hmm. We want the corruption to stop. And, you know, it's just going, you know, it's just viral, isn't it?
It's totally viral. But, you know, I think that what people are at the point where they want to do something. And what I love is that whatever is in your hand, you can do something with very, very little. And if we just start, if all of us just started somewhere, I know our Be A Hero Australia got into the director there is very athletic, unlike us from Canada, but they got into like doing these big cycle rides, and they would cycle 1,500 kilometers from Sydney to Brisbane to raise awareness and get all these cyclists going down the road in order to raise finances for the home that takes girls out of the sex trade in Cambodia.
I know, it's awesome. In fact, you and Wesley have been really involved with that recently, and Wesley actually has gone on a break the cycle mm-hmm. Tour and got on that bike and prepared for months ahead of time to go and do his kilometers and raise the funds to help people get rescued out of the sex trade.
I think once you've actually been to a slum, you've actually been to a brothel, you've actually been, you know, to an orphanage in poverty, there you just feel like you have to do something. You can't do nothing. And so whatever ideas come into, divinely inspired, come into our heads, we say, well, we could do this and we could do this. And there's so much that can be done.
I know. And we get to do it. That's mm-hmm. the good part, is we get to. We don't have to, we get to.
Yeah.
In Psalm 97, verse 2, it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And I love that, because he's highlighting justice right now. I know that we've been in a season, the body has been, I think for probably at least 20 years, where there was a highlight, and specifically since the early 90s, mid-90s, where mm-hmm. God was calling his people from the nations together, different denominations, coming together to worship him, where he would empower them and visit them with his glory and miracles, signs, and wonders. And people would come at conference after conference after conference. They say, more, Lord, mm-hmm. I need more of you, Lord. So we'd go and get filled. And it was on the agenda of God to really fill his people. Mm-hmm. So now we're feeling a switch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the big buzzword, or one of the big buzzwords back in that season, was the glory. In fact, there were so many ministries called the glory. There was conferences called the glory. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a glory this, a glory that. Come and get more glory. Come and get filled with the glory. God's going to empower you with the glory. And so we would get empowered because it was on God's heart.
Yes.
But you can feel a shift now. And now, I believe one of the key words that the Spirit is giving to the church is justice. Mm-hmm. And wherever you flow in the current of the Spirit, wherever you catch that current, whatever he's doing, you will be blessed. And we're seeing all around the world people that are hearing the Spirit's voice concerning justice and getting involved with social issues of justice, where there's poverty and mistreatment of mankind and atrocities happening, especially for children at risk, the innocent ones, that there is a favor of God on it, a blessing of God on it, that is, you know, beyond what you can describe, because it surpasses just what's in the natural. It goes right into the heart.
Well, I think, you know, the Bible says that when you behold God, you're transformed into the same image, you know, from strength to strength and from glory to glory. When I think of that scripture you just read about Psalm 97, about righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne, and I go to worship God, and, you know, I'm thinking of different scriptures in my worship, and I see the throne of God, and I see the Lamb standing as if slain in the center of the throne of God, and I realize that there he is. He's the foundation of his throne. It's established. Even the Lamb, even the cross, it's all about mm-hmm. justice. It's all about righteousness and justice at the same time. Together, you know, it's the very center core of God's heart to establish justice. I want to read you a scripture that I've been meditating on for the last few months. Behold my servant whom I uphold, and my chosen one in whom my soul delights. It's the messianic scripture from Isaiah 42. It says, he will bring forth justice to the nations. Then it goes on to say this, he will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth. He is moving. He's not going to stop. He's going to keep on going through his church, with his church. We get to co-labor with him until he establishes justice in the earth.
You know, this is a very, very powerful scripture. And if we believe it,
I do,
and do it,
right,
then that's where the blessing is going to be. Yeah. And, you know, the Lord showed me that the season that the body is in right now is a season where we will stand at the gates of nations, Psalm 24, the gates of nation, and call forth the King of righteousness, the King of glory, mm-hmm. the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, and invite him in. The mm-hmm. church is going to take its stand at the gates of nations in this hour. So it's like we're going to see coalitions of different ministries even working together, because together in Jesus, we can make great impact on the nations, especially amongst the poor.
You know, I so believe in working together. Recently, I was in Australia, and we had a national prophetic roundtable, and the Lord gave me a word, and I saw like China, Australia, and an island. And I saw them coming together, and I gave this word. I said that there's going to be a coalition of forces, China economically, Australia spiritually, you know, and this island that is going to have like natural resources. I forget how I said it, but I saw the three distinctly. And a woman jumped up from the crowd and said, I know what that island is. And she began to describe how they had gone and they'd been missionaries on this island, and how the king had given his heart to Christ and made a decree that the island, Bougainvillea, which it was called, is rich in diamonds, it's rich in gold, it's rich in minerals, natural resources. China's been trying to come and get some of them because, you know, they're buying up the whole
sure.
world. And but the king, because he'd made a Christian, became a Christian, he made a national decree that 10% of everything that came from the island would go to the church to advance the kingdom of God. And that's the spirit that I think you're talking about.
That's
and then
awesome.
The Lord said to me, don't resist globalization.
Right.
And I was a bit surprised by that statement, but I realized that this is a global trend. We're not going to stop it. And God wants us to see what he is doing, because ultimately he is working above all the nations. And when we learn that spirit of cooperation, working nation to nation to
yep.
nation and running towards that, we can influence, as Daniel did, key nations of the earth right now. It's a very, very important thing.
It's just awesome. The Lord had spoken to me a word too, similar about this whole globalization thing, because we're made for it.
Totally.
You know,
the
kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. You know, we are to embrace the whole world with the government of God. And he said, I'm going to start linking key leaders of weight and authority all around the world to work together for the advancement of the kingdom. And everyone will bring their peace to the table. So, you know, we serve the Lord. One of the areas that we serve him in is in Poipet, Cambodia, which is a border town where they traffic little
yeah.
children across into Thailand, then export them into the earth for sexual mm-hmm. purposes and labor also. And it's a real situation of injustice that needs to be reconciled. So the Lord's been giving us keys on how to bring justice to these children that have no voice of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he said is bring together the business leaders and the ministry leaders together, and I will speak to them.
Wow.
And so it's like when you come together, you're lovers of Jesus, you come together and you just believe for God to speak. One might be given this, another that, no competition. We're not concerned at all about, you know, well, you know, if you do this, it'll take my corner or whatever. It's just like, no, let's for the sake of the poor, mm-hmm. for the sake of this needy region,
mm-hmm.
for the sake of these exploited children, for the sake of these people who have been taken advantage of. Let's together, the body of Christ together, mm-hmm. as business people, as church leaders, as mm-hmm. media people. There's a media team coming over in this current project that we're working on. And it's like, it's so awesome that we're all coming together to execute God's plan for social justice.
We can do so much more together than we could ever do alone. Have you ever heard of the Clapham sect in from England? Well, they followed that principle, and they actually worked with William Wilberforce. And they were, you know, demographically, they were sort of the starters of suburbia. And why they started suburbia was everything was happening in the city, the Industrial Revolution, and they realized the whole issue of slavery was so massive, but they were working all day. So they began to buy land just outside of town, and they would all, that was wealthy Anglicans mostly, they began to come so that at night they could pray together, they could strategize together, they could hear the Lord together, and they are credited with working with William Wilberforce to see the abolition of slavery in the entire British Empire, every nation of the world that that it came from. But it was their coming together, their coalition, them saying, okay, we're not working for ourselves, we're not just doing this for us, we're gonna deny ourselves, we're gonna answer Jesus' prayer in John 17, and we're going to work together. So much more can be done when we work together.
I know, and it's not about our personal agenda.
It's about
it's
him.
About God's heart. And he sees the suffering, and he wants to stop it because he loves every person in every nation in every place. Wilberforce was a powerful voice and an activist in his day, but we're being called in our day to abolish issues of social injustice. Mm-hmm. Just before we go to a break, Stacy, I want to close with a scripture that is out of Job 29. I love this chapter because Job talks about how blessed he was. He was so blessed. He had friendship with God. Friendship with God was over him all the time. He was having all these beautiful things where God's light was shining on him and everything. And his steps were bathed in butter. His family was intact. There were streams of oil being poured out of the rock. Then when he went and sat in his city gate, which was a place of influence in the city, everyone stopped and listened to him. He had so much authority in the earth and his sphere of influence. And he said, why? This is why he was so blessed. It's very clear. Because I delivered the poor who cried for help and the orphan who had no helper, the blessing of the one ready to perish came upon me, and I made the widow's heart sing for joy. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind, feet to the lame, father to the needy. I investigated the case which I did not know. I broke the jaws of the wicked and snatched the prey from his teeth. Social justice. But because he engaged in the things that were close to the heart of God, because he stepped into it, the rest of his life was blessed. Awesome. We're going to be right back with much more.
Human trafficking has taken its toll on men, women, and children all across the world. For Their Tears, I Died is a compilation of true stories and testimonies of social injustice survivors. Visit our online store at xpministries.com.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. Go online to xpministries.com.
Are you called to media? XP Media's training team is available to teach you every phase of media production, from script writing to acting, editing, producing, and directing. For more information, visit xpmediatraining.com.
Our subject for today's program is social justice. But you know, Stacy, as we read earlier in Psalm 97, it says that the foundations of his throne are two things, not just justice, but righteousness. And what we're seeing today is a massive move of youth, the younger generation, rising up to just proclaim the justice of God.
Yeah, and they're bold. Too.
They are bold. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of a story when you said that. There was a young 20-something from our church, and she went over to Thailand to actually help rescue children from the sex trade because she got so impacted by this cause of justice at a youth conference. It's like it's a sound that a whole generation is hearing. And so she went over there, and you know, your scripture from Job 29 that you mentioned earlier, she literally did that. She was working, helping get girls out of the sex trade. Well, one day she was walking down the streets of Phuket, and she saw an old man with a little kid. And inside she just felt, that's evil, there's something wrong there, that's not good. And the man went into the store to buy something, he left the little kid out on the street. She just went up and she snatched that little child, and she took it back to the home, and she found out that the mother was a prostitute, and that child had just been sold, but they then kept it. But that's a combination of, there is an actual generation alive on the earth that is trying to snatch, you know, the wicked. They want justice so badly that they will go into these areas. They'll go, you know, every year I go to Africa, there's hundreds of young people. This year in Africa, when I went this year, it had tripled the size of the school foreigners coming from around the world to learn how to do orphanage work, to learn how to work with the poor, to learn how to do the justice issues. There's a sound going out.
I know when we are in conferences sharing about children at risk, mm-hmm. and we have an altar call for people to come forward, the youth, the younger generation come forth and wail. Mm-hmm. They're giving their life unto God for that purpose. Mm-hmm. There is such a cry in their heart for it. So I'm really excited to see that. And, you know, we're seeing it everywhere. Our friend Danielle Strickland was sharing about what's going on in the Salvation Army,
yeah.
and how a lot of their young people and their troops that are going out are just making a lot of headway into these areas that are dark, bringing light mm-hmm. into the midst of the darkness. It's awesome.
Yeah, I had a prophetic word when I was about 27. And I've always known that this generation is coming. And, you know, one of the lines in it was that about this generation, about this younger generation, that they are coming and they will change society. And society will not change them. There's something inside of them that God has put this plumb line, that they see the wickedness. And our generation kind of winked at it. We didn't do much about it. In fact, we perpetrated it. We broke down moral values and righteousness, and they want to fix it. So I love working with them.
Right. Now, we're talking about the issues of social justice, and they're real.
Right.
I mean, never before has there been so much involvement in the sex trade. I think a lot of it is because of pornography on the internet, that it's mm-hmm. just escalated it, because the stats for children being exploited for that purpose is shocking. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. But we also have to deal with the righteousness issue, because we can rescue children out of the sex trade, but they'll just be filled with someone else as long as there's a market for it.
Right.
So we might not like to hear about children being used in that way, but even in churches, you can go into any church and find people who are dabbling on internet pornography, involved in fornication, committing
homes.
Adultery, you know, it's like we've got to deal with this righteousness issue.
Yeah, the justice issue is inextricably tied to the righteousness issue. If there were no unrighteousness, there would be no injustice, really, because one feeds the other. And, you know, it's kind of strange that even though I was telling you that a generation they love, they want to fix things, but really we can't just deal with the symptoms. We have to, in the words of John the Baptist, lay the axe to the root. And
right.
the root is the immorality and the unrighteousness mm-hmm. that is feeding all of the injustice.
Yeah. There's a lack of integrity, there's dishonesty, tons of immorality, perversion, and it's all just going off the word of God. Broken mm-hmm. covenants, you know, mistrust. It's like there's so much violation of the word, even in his own church. We have to deal with those things, because if we, the people of God, lose our salt, then what's going to preserve the world?
Yeah, righteousness, we have to talk about righteousness. If we really want to fix justice, we have to talk about righteousness. And it's not a popular sound right now. It's almost as soon as you say something righteous, well, that's self-righteous, or that's your opinion.
Or it's legalistic.
It's legalistic. It's like they want to talk about grace without holiness. They want to talk about justice without righteousness. But It's the whole thing that we need.
It's the whole Bible. We need the whole counsel of God. There's the kindness and the severity of God. Mm-hmm. There's grace and there's truth. It's like mm-hmm. we must have the fullness of God. We cannot have one without the other. We will never exterminate or extinguish all the social injustice without infiltrating society with the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is our stand in Christ, but it has to be also our behavior.
Right.
It must be our behavior.
Right. We've got to go back to the 10.
Amen. I just feel an excitement in my spirit because I really believe that God is opening up something so amazing to his body in this hour. He's inviting us to take our light into the darkness and to settle issues of injustice. Proverbs 6, verse 31 says that biblical justice involves catching a thief in the act. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but he came that we'd have life and have it abundantly. When we catch the thief in the act, he has to restore sevenfold that which he stole. But Proverbs 6:31 also says we get to plunder his whole house. So biblical justice is so mm-hmm. exciting. So when the righteous rise up and move forward to establish the justice of God, then the afflicted are safe. The torn of soul are made whole. That's what justice is all about. It's bringing heaven to earth. Righteousness and justice, the foundation of the throne.
Human trafficking has taken its toll on men, women, and children all across the world. For Their Tears, I Died is a compilation of true stories and testimonies of social injustice survivors. Visit our online store at xpministries.com.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. Go online to xpministries.com.
I'm seeing a vision right now of jewels. That's it, jewels, jewels, jewels. I just saw jewels and jewelry. And I am receiving two things from that. First of all, the Lord says that the afflicted, especially children at risk, are his jewels. He wants us to go after them. They are his treasure. But I'm also seeing specifically that there's someone watching this program right now that you are called to make jewelry and use it to rescue the jewels. And so God has already actually given you the strategy on it. He's going to give you a marketing strategy also. And I see you actually going to places where there's children at risk. You're actually going to go there. I see you on an airplane, you're traveling, and you're teaching even others in that place, even maybe the children, it is how to make this jewelry. And it is actually going to have a great impact. And the vision that God's given you, that creative idea, is from him, and he wants you to have confidence in that.
When I was praying earlier, I recalled something that happened to me when I was at university. And at the time, I was very, very confused in my faith. I didn't know if the Bible was true, if the Bible wasn't true. I was being taught things by my university professors that completely confused me. And I was walking across the university campus, and I was arrested by an audible voice. And the audible voice said this: "Let God be true, and every man a liar." And I stopped walking, and then the voice spoke again: "Let God be true, and every man a liar." And I realized that right there I had a choice to make. I could either believe the Bible and what it said about God, or I could believe the university professors, and you know, each one of them was saying a different thing, and really they had no more proof on their theories than what they were saying the Bible had proof for. So I made a choice. I said, okay, I don't understand the Bible. These professors are smarter than me. I will make a choice to believe God and let every man be a liar, as it were. Well, I recall that story because I feel like there's somebody out there involved in a moral issue. And you're being told, you're confused, you're being told, well, either you were born this way or it's not wrong to do this, everybody's doing it, it's okay. And there's actually a lot of confusion and God doesn't care if you do this and God will understand. And there's confusion around the moral choice you need to make. I feel the Holy Spirit saying to you, let God be true. Let His word be true. What it says, even if you don't understand it, even if none of your friends are following in that, in what you know the Bible to say, even if you don't even understand why the Bible would say that, let God be true. And the end of my story is this. Things didn't change right away. I was still confused in a lot of my courses. But the more that I chose to believe what the Bible said, the more revelation, the more understanding. By my fifth year of university, I was putting up my hand and asking the PhD professors questions that they could not answer. There I got such insight. I got such understanding. And I feel that right now you're confused. Right now you don't know what is right, what is wrong. Is it right? Is it wrong? Does it matter? Does God care? But the Bible is specifically saying, don't do that. Make a choice. Trust me. And God, the same way that He worked for me, will work for you. And you will see that the fruit of righteousness will bring you much more joy, peace, happiness, goodness, all those things, if you choose to do what is right.
I'm receiving a word right now for a businessman. And you've been just working very happily in your business, and you've been successful, and you enjoy accomplishing your assignments, and you've really made a mark. But the Lord is calling you to be an advocate for the poor, and you're starting to get glimpses of it because God's been touching your heart, and you're finding yourself weeping sometime. It's going to get stronger and stronger because God's all over you. And I want to confirm what's going on in your heart right now. You are going to be an advocate for the poor. And things are going to change for you in this next 18 months. You're going to be amazed at what God opens up for you because your whole life is going to change. And I see shifts happening so that you can be an advocate for the poor.
Human trafficking has taken its toll on men, women, and children all across the world. For Their Tears, I Died is a compilation of true stories and testimonies of social injustice survivors. Visit our online store at xpministries.com.
Are you called to media? XP Media's training team is available to teach you every phase of media production, from script writing to acting, editing, producing, and directing. For more information, visit xpmediatraining.com.